May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 186. My God, my portion and my love, my everlasting all, I've none but thee in heaven above, or on this earthly ball. Hymn 186.
Thank you. Let us read the word of God in the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7. The book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and of thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoureth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thy heritage, thine heritage, which dwell solitary in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt. Will I show unto him marvellous things? The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, thou great God Jehovah, the true and living God, the God in whom we each live and move and have our being. O Lord, unto we feel we must ever acknowledge the God with whom we have to do. O, do look in mercy upon us, Lord. We come before thee, begging of thee to hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And we come pleading the precious name of Jesus, a name that thou, O God, the Father, lovest to hear thy children plead. So we come in that way thy beloved Son stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We come pleading, O Lord our God, for Jesus' sake. Also do look in mercy upon us, Lord, we're sinners gathered here. And oh, with those who really deeply feel it, oh, we come like Micah felt his sin and felt much to be down in sadness and sorrow because of all the many things of situation around him. But oh, he came to that place where he had that wonderful exercise and purpose to look unto thee, the Lord. And oh, we come to thee now in all our troubles and sorrows, Lord. In fact, we each have a wicked heart, an evil heart of unbelief. Sin is within me, Lord, and all about me. Who knoweth the burden, the malady. Oh, Lord, and the enemy Satan is so fierce against us. World and flesh and devil are our enemies, but even more than that, ourself. We're the greatest enemy, the greatest one coming against the child of God is often themselves. Oh, that I had not of myself. The Lord, we do hope we know by thy wonderful grace that we do by thy grace have a new heart. It's the old nature, Lord, it's the plague within the old man. We hope we know and feel it in the new man. But Lord, thou knowest how it is with each one here. May we be given to feel and confess and feel in sorrow for our sins, Lord, and truly may have godly sorrow and come into thee pleading for mercy for Jesus' sake. Lord, thou knowest the wonderful words that conclude that book of prophecy. Oh, who is a God like unto thee? And oh, we hope there are those of us here, we pray we may each examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, the favour of believing, even in that wonderful way, under the favour of the work and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hast thou convicted and convinced us of our sin, Lord? Yes, thou hast given us to flee for refuge, to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. Yes, thou hast revealed a precious Christ to us. Oh, how we know it is all in and through him, thy beloved Son alone. Oh, Lord, thou gave thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we pray we may have the favour of a glimpse of thee, of him, the Son of God, thy beloved Son, O God, Heavenly Father, grant it to us. Oh, may the dear Holy Spirit come tonight to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Thou knowest how we feel, Lord, especially as one has been pondering. Here we come to the friends here on the Lord's Day recently, and the great and solemn question was so much upon us. For what is thy life? We know it further says it is but a vapour. Oh, what is thy life? What is it, Lord? What life are we living? How are we going on in our days? Is it spiritual life? Is it a new life from the dead life we were in? The dead state we were in by nature? Dead spiritually? But am I quickened, Lord? What is thy life? And oh, is it a life of faith and prayer? Our dear friend in the vestry has confirmed us in our exercise, Lord, by praying for faith. The vital grace of faith. Are we living by faith, Lord? What is our life? What is thy life? Oh, and Lord, like Micah, who was truly living by faith, oh, may we come with our pleading tonight that thou wilt in mercy look upon us and grant us, Lord, faith and exercise, even within the time of this service, that we may believe, and believe as we plead with thee, that we shall have the petitions that we ask of thee. Oh, we pray for faith. It may be in us in lively exercise, faith in the bleeding Lamb. You know, with what we've heard sung this afternoon, in listening in to the funeral, our dear beloved friend and fellow labourer, dear Mr. Field, Mr. Richard Field, taking the service at the Dicker Chapel. And what a sweet service it was. And Lord, oh, how that one departed and home with thee, we believe, was favoured, though granted him that vital living faith. And Lord, how we think of it in the theme, where we are in trouble and sorrow and tribulation, oh, that favour of faith, living faith, oh, the favour to so live and even esteem in the reproach of Christ greater riches like Moses than the treasures in Egypt. Oh, have we been freed from Egypt? Is this world not our home? Are we looking for a better country? What is thy life? How are we going along? We thought much today of the blessed theme in the Psalm 121. Oh, to look, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Not the natural hills, Lord, although they are blessed and beautiful to look at, thy creation, but, Lord, to the hills of mercy, the hills of love. Oh, what is in thy gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, all the wonders of redeeming love, all the riches of thy grace, these are the hills. Oh, Mount Moriah, the hills, Hill Zion. Oh, Lord, oh, Zion, its name, the Lord is there. It shines with everlasting light. O Lord, grant us this favour tonight, to by faith behold thee, the Lamb of God. Do see thee, Lord, by faith there in thy holy offices in heaven. Thou hast completed all on earth, finished the work as thou didst so blessedly say to thy Father, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. And Lord, thou hast ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and receives gifts from men. We pray we may know the blessedness of thy receiving gifts from men in that wonderful way according to God the Father's holy will and purpose, even here tonight. Souls may be blessed. Suit thy blessing, Lord, to each one gathered here. Oh, our heart is full with love for souls, thou knowest. Oh, we desire that souls may be blessed. Quicken souls, Lord, and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, thou wilt give to precious souls, we're all going on, fast hastening on. Thou knowest the theme of the hymn writer we quoted a week last Lord's Day, Lord, among the friends here. Oh, our lives are ever on the wing and death is ever nigh. Oh, Lord, the moment that our lives begin, we all begin to die. We must all die and be as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up. Lord, we must enter that never-ending eternity, our friend and brother has pleaded regarding it. We may be prepared for that great day and eternity. Lord, do so work and bless. Bless each one here present, Lord, could it please thee? Bless them with thy grace. Oh, thy work is to call by grace those who have set thy love upon. That wonderful holy doctrine of sovereign election, and how it's known by calling. And Lord, we do pray we might be witnesses of being called by grace, born again, born of the Spirit. Marvel not, thou didst say to Nicodemus, Lord, marvel not. I say unto you, ye must be born again. Oh, am I born again? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Lord, we pray these very important, solemn questions may be put by thee out of question in precious souls here tonight. Oh, there may be those that are by thy grace brought to become true believers. Oh, Lord, we know one sweetly put it, a wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. Lord, who knoweth how we feel our sin and guilt. We're wounded under the law, condemned under the law of God. Those of us who know such things experienced by the work of the Spirit in us. And Lord, how it is, we bless thee, Lord, we can say, that those of us here, we can acknowledge it. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Oh, do thus come, Lord, and suit thy blessing to each one here tonight. We pray for the dear young friends, young people. Oh, how we think of things, situation in the world and terrible things. Oh, the terrible things coming on the earth. Thou knowest what is in thy holy will. Thou art visiting the whole world with judgment. We are solemnly shown this, Lord. Oh, thou givest thy people who are made wise to understand. Thou givest them to know that these terrible things that have come, the virus, Lord, and now the war, and they are, as we would carefully say, permitted of thee to be. And Lord, thou dost send judgments. We think of those who did. How thou didst so visit the people in Egypt before the children of Israel were let free, let go. Oh, thou didst send one and another plague, one after another. And Lord, how we see these things today, as this plague that's spread all round the world. And Lord, we sing solemnly, as we've quoted before among the friends here, of that word in Isaiah 13, where they just say, I will punish the world for evil. And Lord, thou art a just and righteous God. People may think thou art an unkind God, but never, never, never. Thou art just and righteous still. Thou art never the author of sin, but thou hast a solemn purpose to permit evil to come. And Lord, oh, how these things are terribly more and more made clear to thy people, that these are the solemn days, the last times. Oh, we would not speculate to say when the great day of the Lord will come, but Lord, thou knowest we have the signs of the times. Lord, we pray, do prepare us. We think of thine own words, Lord, the Son of God. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We think of another word in thy word, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? May we consider such a question as that. So help us each, Lord, as we were praying for the young, we pray thou bless them, help them. Oh, we do hope they will have a long life, Lord, but may none that are young and growing up in these days take for granted that they are here for a long time. Oh, we know death can come early in a person's life. Oh, to be prepared is the great important matter. Should be our concern, we pray it may be for each one, so that when death comes, we are found at the judgment day. Oh, we know, as in that word in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Oh, may we be, Lord. May it be a personal concern and exercise to each soul gathered here tonight to seek to be prepared to be looking for thee, the Son of God, needing thee, looking for thee, oh, hoping in thee, knowing that if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. So, Lord, help each one. Thou knowest, Lord, we think of those in affliction, those laid aside. We think of those friends that are in sorrow, having lost loved ones. And Lord, them knoweth as we go on, when we've lost a loved one, it's a continuous thing that we have. We cannot, as it were, forget it. It's a sorrow, a sadness. And Lord, we need much grace to bear to thy will. But what a precious grace it is, the grace of submission. We pray for it as we know we feel to need it more and more, and friends do too, to bear to thy will. He never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. So help each one, Lord. Thou knowest how we think of those that are waiting funeral day. We think of Olive Gooch. Oh, we know dear Esther, our friend, has had to go to the grave today with her family. Good it was for us to listen in and hear that sweet service, Lord, and the singing of the hymns, and what our dear friend and brother was able to say of the wonderful work of grace, clearly seen and known, that thou did so deal with our dear late friend wonderfully, and blessed him wonderfully, though he had to have a path of much affliction. But Lord, we do thank thee for those things, and pray that in that service there, Dicker Chapel, that blessed place in the south, and Lord, thou knowest those things that were spoken, and maybe some there not acquainted with the things in those that may have been in attendance, Lord. And Lord, it may be even one and another here, younger friends or any that may have come in and not fully acquainted with the things that we set forth and preach and the things that we love among us, Lord. Oh, the wonderful things that we hope in as thy holy word and truth, and what there our great God has so ordered and appointed for thy people. We pray for grace, Lord, so to show forth thy praise. We may be witnesses of thy wonderful grace. We may give an account and show the world who we love and who we serve. Help us each. So help us, Lord, to live to thy praise, we beg. And I pray especially for my dear friend and brother that now is here present with us. We had the privilege to hear his faithful ministry last evening. And, O Lord, thou knowest how it is. Such a hope we carry, we trust, as what we heard set forth. Oh, looking to thee, casting our care upon thee, committing our way unto thee. And Lord, oh, we do pray also for the friends as they gather on Lord's Day with our friend among them. And we pray we may so be helped in our path too. And every one of thy servants may be blessed and helped with the word given and signs following in thy time, the preaching of the word. Bless thy people, Lord. Feed them also. Lift them up forever. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends. I would direct you particularly to the seventh verse in the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verse 7. We do hope, though, we shall be able to look at some of the context and especially come to the 18th verse. But as we would begin the 7th verse, Micah chapter 7, verse 7, therefore will I look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. And of course the therefore is because of what he has previously been led to speak of, to mention, to state here. And of course, let me say first of all, before we comment on the foregoing, Micah was a godly man, but he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner, but he was a godly man. He was concerned about his sin, which we find following on further down the chapter. But friends, surely he was a godly man and he was concerned about many things. And of course, he was in a deep measure of sorrow because those that had gone before, which he knew some of them, were now passed into eternity. And in the figurative words of what we have in the early part of this chapter, it's stated in this way, the grape gleanings and so on, the good man, look at verse 2, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. He was concerned, friends. The situation was not as he could wish all around him. We must be careful because we don't want to in any measure promote that he was looking at others in a wrong way. He was mourning over the state of things that was all around him. But as we would carefully look further then down, it comes to the place where he acknowledges his own sin. And I mean, like as I gave mention in prayer, we were with you a week last Lord's Day. You've had dear Mr. Parrish since and dear Mr. Austin last Lord's Day. But it's been very much alive in my heart to try and follow on in meditation in the words that we were considering with you, especially those pointed words of that question, for what is thy life? And it has been a question to me, friends, for what is thy life? And we know it further says it's but a vapor, and of course God's people are concerned in the swift passage of time and they're fast hastening on toward eternity. I think I made mention when I was with you last that the late Mr. Oliver Pack, there was a time when he was under conviction when he couldn't bear to hear the clock ticking because every tick he was that much nearer eternity. Such was his solemn conviction of sin and his solemnity that he felt regarding the shortness of time and that eternity is forever. Many years ago I spoke this in preaching, that eternity is forever and ever. And the Lord used that in a young soul to bring that soul into concern. You know, I must say it tonight, time is short, eternity is forever and ever. We have a hymn which goes like this: eternity, tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. But there are wonderful words that follow if we are blessed to be brought into the favour of them. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accent, how divine. But are we concerned about the fact that we are living? You know, friends, we're living, and Micah knew this, you know, we are living, possessing a never dying soul. Like I said to you before, it was very close in my family things. My son, who was ought to be one who repaired lorries, and I warned him, I said, be careful if you're beside a motorway trying to mend a lorry. Do be careful, because if some other vehicle hits that lorry, and he simply said, well, that would be the end, Dad. I said, no, boy, it would not be the end. There's a vast eternity. You have a soul, a never-dying soul. You see, when we die, we go into eternity. And it says in the Word, and I believe it with all, absolutely I believe it, it says after death the judgment. And there's no time in eternity. It's all one. It's forever and ever. After death, the judgment. And the judgment of the great day, the Son of God himself will return the second time. He come the second time without sin. That means not to suffer for sin like he did for the church. And to redeem the church, he's come. He will come the second time to be the judge of all the earth. And the Word of God says, and I believe it is absolutely right, it says, shall not the judge of the earth do what's right? He will do right. Shall not the judge of the earth do all that's right? And it will be those that have been prepared in and under the work and operation and teaching of the Holy Spirit that he will say to come in, they're blessed of my Father. Because God, those whom God begins to work in and completes the work of grace in, he is loved before the world. And he's chosen them before the world. And God's purpose is to have them for his praise in heaven. But God is absolutely righteous. And he will do right according to his holy will. And many, many souls will be cast away. But that doesn't mean to be finished with everything, cast into hell, to be suffering in that place of punishment forever. Oh, how great a matter this is. If God begin to teach you, he'll make you realise it more and more, how great in importance it is to be prepared. To seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he's near. Oh, God in his word has so much he's stated in the importance of being prepared. But we're digressing. What is thy life? Is it a life of concern? Has God brought you to be concerned, to need to pray, to beg of God for mercy? To seek the Lord while he may be found, like I said, what is thy life? And you see, dear Micah's life was a life of exercise. He knew his need. He was concerned over sin, his own sin particularly, and the sins of others, the state of things. He was one of the Lord's prophets, godly man. He knew the plague of his own heart. He knew what a sinner he was. And so we have it here. In the situation of all these things that he's mentioning in these ways, in these early verses in this chapter, and then he comes to this. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is that sinners are so brought to be taught by God to know the Lord can have mercy upon sinners. He has a purpose of love and mercy to sinners. We have a couplet in one of the hymns. Yes, the very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely shall of endless bliss be winners and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. That's in heaven forever. Oh, friends, are you a Holy Ghost taught sinner? Are you one God's so enlightened, a divinely enlightened person, born of the Spirit? God quickens his people into newness of life. We're all dead by nature. We've not got any spiritual life by nature. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. A natural birth is a birth that we're born in, and we've got no spiritual life. But God, those he has set his love upon, he will quicken them into spiritual life. Oh, is it your prayer? Am I quickened by his Spirit and live a life of faith and prayer? Well, Micah was so favoured in that wonderful way, and he says, acknowledging these things in what we have in the foregoing context, he says, then he comes to this seventh verse, he says, therefore, in this situation, in this trouble, in the reality of these things of fact, he said, therefore will I look unto the Lord. Oh, there's a theme in one of the hymns. It says, this dying sinner, look and live. And look, who unto must we look? We look unto the Lord. And this is the Lord God Almighty, as it said in Old Testament Scripture. But it means, I believe, ever so much it is important for us to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in all the Scriptures. Therefore will I look unto the Lord. And just to particularly cite further, he says to enemies, he says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. See, he will look unto the Lord. And he has this blessed knowledge. He's been taught of God. And he speaks to his enemies. And these enemies, his enemy, it's world and flesh and devil. It's the enemy in his old nature, especially, particularly. And he says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. See, personal, mine enemy. You know, mighty enemies without, more mighty within, world and flesh and devil. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, and sweet confidence of faith. He knows he can't keep himself. He says, when I fall, I shall arise, because God will have mercy on him. He believes that. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. See, he's ever so troubled about his own state, the state of things in and around him. And he comes to this. Furthermore, he comes to this. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. He said, I will bear it. He's the rod. He's brought to heed the rod. And he who hath appointed it, God, he believes has a right and blessed purpose to chasten him, to correct him. He says, when I fall, then he believes it. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. But oh, wonderfully, he has this view of God. We know the Son of God had not yet come, but in the way of the prophecy of the Son of God coming and all what he would come to do, and that he would have to come in and redeem in the church, he would ascend up on high and be in heaven, and until he plead my cause. Oh, as we look back to Calvary, friends, believing that the Lord has redeemed the church, he suffered, bled and died in our place, he shed his holy blood, which was for the redemption of the church. And he has, as we read in Isaiah's prophecy, that prophecy is fulfilled. He hath ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He receives gifts from men as he's now in his holy offices in heaven. And so, until he pleads my cause, this is what you need, friends, and I need. We need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came for us. He suffered in our place. He bled and died. He redeemed us. And we need the assurance of that. We need to seek the Lord for that, to be assured of that, and to believe that he is now in his offices in heaven, so fulfilling all the purpose and will of God for the church of God. He is the advocate. He is the mediator. He is the intercessor. He is a day's man too, who can lay his hands upon us both. He is a great high priest above, the Son of God. And so Michael is looking to the Lord. And oh, is it with you that you're looking to the Lord? Oh, has God given you to know and believe what you are as a wretched sinner? And to know and feel the malady of sin, sins within me and all about me. But the remedy is without us, friends. See it in the Saviour's blood. Oh, it's what Christ has done. So you look to the Lord, like I mentioned. And that's such a blessed psalm to me and my dear one. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Oh, here we have so many times pleaded that and gone to the Lord in that way. Oh, the Lord have made heaven and earth. Of course, naturally the hills are beautiful to look unto, and we believe in creation. That God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And there's the looking under the hills naturally, and the beauty of creation. But the hills that really are meant in that theme are the hills of mercy and love and God's wonderful provision for the church, all his favours to Zion. His people, Mount Moriah, think of that. What took place on Mount Moriah? Abraham saw Christ die and was glad. Friends, the wonderful things of the saving grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. I will, therefore, in the situation. It can be said like this with you and me, I hope. Therefore, in the situation that one is in, we are in, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Oh, friends, do you have hope that God, the living God, the true and living God, is the God of your salvation? Oh, friends, sinners need salvation. Oh, can you say it like none a saviour? More can need. Deeds of righteousness I've none. No, not one good work to plead. Many professing people are trusting in their own good works. It's right we should bear fruits of the Spirit. We will do it if we truly know God's wonderful saving grace. But our work, friends, cannot work the remission of sin. They cannot save you. Works cannot. Oh, good works are important for those who have been blessed. I believe those who have been blessed to know and taste redeeming love will want to be zealous of good works. But friends, we need that wonderful salvation that the Son of God has brought in through and by his blessed sacrifice of himself. Oh, he is a great salvation. Oh, worthy of our best esteem. He has saved his favourite nation. Join aloud to sing of him. Christ has saved us. Oh, Christ alone could us redeem. It's what the Son of God has done. And you know, it's good to think and ponder the scriptures. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, there's the qualifying part of the word, whosoever believeth in him. God so loved the world, he didn't love the world savingly, the whole world. He loved the world of his people in number which no man can number, John saw. But there's no such thing as universal salvation, friends. There's no such thing as that. The word of God is very clear. Otherwise, there couldn't be such a word in the word. The wicked shall be turned into hell, with all nations to forget God. Oh, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Think of it, friends. Now, are you one loved of God? Are you one God set his love upon before the world? I want to carefully bring tonight, I feel I should, the point that I've spoken of many times over the years. See, I used to be in market gardening, and we used to grow many different crops. We used to call them the smaller crops that were kind of, we used to call them weeding crops, because we had, in those days, we had to single them out. And we used to actually crawl along these rows of plants that had been drilled, and they'd come up too thick, and we had to single them out. Because, like a beetroot plant, will not develop into a good-sized beetroot if it's too close to the next one. And, of course, the beetroot seed was what is known as a multi-germ seed. So each seed, there could be several plants come up from that seed. But you see, the Lord taught me sovereign election through what I was involved in my work. You see, I used to sow the seed, drill the seed, and it was our field, and we had complete control of the field. We were managing the crop, and these wonderful plants grew, but they were too thick and we had to cut some of them out. Now, nobody could say to us, you mustn't cut this one out or that one out. And you know, as we went along the rows, we used to actually look for the better ones and cut out the smaller ones, the poorer ones. And I used to think, well, these wither away and die that we cut out. And the ones that grow, we have a right to leave them. And I thought of this God with the plants of his garden. Oh, his plant, he has a perfect right over them. Our neighbour couldn't tell me off for doing my cutting this one or that one out. We had a perfect right to do it. God taught me sovereign election like that. That God has a perfect right to bless those he loves, to save those he loves, to have them for his praise, and oh, they are to be as his right hand planting, and to grow and to learn and to be blessed and to be his forever. Every type comes short of the antitype, friends. But you know, I learned sovereign election like that. And sovereign election Oh, the concern a child of God will have, am I one of the elect? Well, you know it by God calling you. If he calls you and you become concerned about your never-dying soul, if you begin to need to pray to God, you see, it's a very clear witness of being alive spiritually. Behold, he prayeth. That's how it was with Saul of Tarsus. Even though he persecuted the church, God loved him. And he stopped him and turned him round. And the witness that he was a different character was, behold, he prayeth. And the Lord will bring each one who he loves to need to pray. And much of their prayer in early days will be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. And when you ought to be sorry for your sins and no repentance of sin, let a repenting rebel live, and God will, because he's got a purpose to save them and to have them for his praise. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. There's a time of waiting, and waiting upon God, and waiting for the God of my salvation, waiting for the Lord to appear, the Lord to hear your prayer, the Lord to, in mercy, favour you, to know and taste his love. Therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. See how he's got confidence of faith. This is what God does. He knows he quickens into life those he goes on to teach. He gives them the vital grace of faith to believe. We have faith to believe and to justify God in our own condemnation, that he would be just if he cast us away into hell. But wonderfully, God's got a purpose to go on to be gracious and to give faith in the bleeding lamb, faith in Jesus Christ. I want to, as it were, come to the point of especially the acknowledgement the dear prophet had when he came. He knew so much of God's wonderful favour, and he come to that word in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever. Oh, because he delighteth in mercy. God, oh, he is a God of love, like we've had in the hymn. Oh, God of grace, of love immense. Hey, free thy favours to dispense. This coming night, look into God, look into the Lord. It's going to the Lord, pleading for mercy. He's merciful and gracious to sinners, those he convicts and convinces of their sin. He's merciful and gracious to them. He has a purpose of love and mercy for them. Oh, and he causes them by the work and operation of the Spirit in them to have to confess their sin and plead for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, the religion of the Pharisees was a dead religion. They'd not been born again. You know, we can have Pharisaic pride and partly be in a wrong spirit in that way. But I especially think of him. Everyone that's really taught by the Spirit of God, they're convicted and convinced of their sin. You will pray for it. I don't think you pray for it when you're absolutely, in early days, under the law, under condemnation. But when you've known something, being raised to a hope in the mercy of God, and having known conviction of sin, then you will, as you've known that conviction, and God's given you prayer, and he's heard your prayer in some measure, but you're still a sinner, and you're still troubled and burdened over your way of sinning and going on in sin, and can't keep yourself, you want to be more particularly made to know God's mercy to sinners. And I think, like the hymn, you say, convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood. To our wandering view, reveal the secret love of God. Oh, is God convincing you, convicting and convincing you of your sin? And because of that, he's making you know your need of the Saviour more and more. Oh, you need the blood of the Saviour that he shed. You need to know it was shed for you. That blessed hymn sung this afternoon. Oh, especially that verse is special to me, special to many of God's people. What voice is this that speaks for me? In heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. And it's in this way, it's this that the dear prophet is acknowledging, who is bringing it in a way of a kind of question. It's a question and a statement together. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Who is a God? Well, this is the holy, holy God, Jehovah. He is the God, God Almighty, the one and only true God. Who is a God like unto thee? There's none other. There's no other name. Think of this, the Saviour. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, who came to this earth wrapped in humanity to die for crimes. I hope I can say crimes that I've done. Can you say it was for you? We don't want to presume, friends. As we sung on Thursday, as our friend, dear Robert, our dear beloved friend knows, we sung that hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. There were some years, friends, with this poor sinner, and I daren't sing that hymn. I wanted to, but I daren't sing it for fear of presumption. But the time came, wonderfully came, when I could sing it. I can acknowledge it, I hope now. It's Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. My beauty are, my glorious dress. This is our hope, friends. Those of us who are well grounded, those of us who are blessed, those of us who have been given some measure of assurance of faith. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity? He pardons the sins of his people. He puts them away, he blots them out. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, God's made provision for the putting away of the sin and guilt of the whole church. He's given his dear Son. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Some of you have been blessed. Let me put it solemnly, pointedly, and yet I would not say anything extremely wrong to, of course, but you know, some of you have known blessing. And he says to you, you are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Some have not done what he commands. They haven't, not yet. Oh, may there be those to lay it to heart. Oh, but you pray, you may be saying, I need more assurance, I need a clearer a vision of him. I need more to know and to be assured of my part in the Redeemer's blood. Well, that's not a wrong exercise, but Do you think you've grieved him by your unwillingness, by your disobedience? Our Saviour says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You can go to those words in John's Gospel. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Oh, how Micah here in Old Testament days, he says, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does it, friends. He pardons iniquity. He passes by the transgression. He sees his people in Christ. He accepts his people in his beloved Son. The favour is stated in the words of the Apostle Paul, his writings to the church at Ephesus, made accepting in the beloved. Oh, friends, this is our God. He accepts his people in his beloved Son. He accepts that full payment the Son of God's made for them. Oh, redemption by price paid. The price, the holy heart's blood of the Saviour. He shed his blood to put away the sin, the whole church of God. He redeemed the church. We read in those words in Isaiah 53, I quoted some of them, the further words further on, but we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, that's not to be just taken as a statement applying to us all. You need to question it personally. Does it apply to you? It's for all the church, all those God set his love upon, but am I one of them? And God will give to those that are really made by the Spirit concerned. He will give the faith like he gave to Micah, like he gives to all those acknowledged in the Word of God, faith to believe, faith to receive. Paul writes to the Romans, he says to the Romans that he addresses in beginning the epistle to the Romans, those he knew and loved, he said, we have received the atonement. Can we say it, friends? Can you and I say it? Could we say it to one another, a brother in the faith or a sister in the faith? Could we commune like this? We have received the atonement. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth? He pardons sin because of what Christ has done. Because Christ has redeemed the church. And individual souls are to know the blessing of the Lord that make it rich. Oh, he pardons sin. He pardoneth iniquity. Iniquity, sin, all that which is what God hates. Oh, he pardoneth it. Not upon any merit of the sinner, but upon the merit of the Saviour. Oh, the Saviour shed his blood. He paid the price for sin. Oh, he alone, the Son of God, his sacrifice is full, complete redemption of the church. Who is a God like unto thee? Do we know this God, friends? The true and living God. The God that rules on high. And he does thunder as he please. But oh, he who pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. And he, we must come to the end. Amen. He retaineth not his anger. He passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever. You'll know something of his anger, righteous anger. He's convicting you bringing you to know you justly are condemned under his law, and you justly deserve to be banished away in that place where hope and mercy never can come. But his purpose, God's purpose, is of love and mercy to those he has set his love upon. And as the Spirit works in his people, God's people, they're blessed to know and believe they're among the favoured objects of God's love. Jeremiah was. He says, who is a God like unto thee? And the question, that first flow of couplets, who is a God like unto thee? There's no other God. There's none other God. There's none other name than the Son of God among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, God the Father's dear beloved Son. And I was going to say, as in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But this is the most wonderful thing, that God's people, God will bless his people to know, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's all the church, all his people, all their sin laid on Christ. Oh, he was led, and I know a friend and brother with us preached, I think it was a baptizing service here, he preached on those words and spoke those words. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep be short, poor, as shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And oh, how he redeemed the church, saved the church by his sacrifice, his full payment of the debt of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We must leave it now, friends, but think of what we were trying to preach to you a week last Lord's Day. What is thy life? Is it a life of faith and hope and prayer? Is this your exercise, praying to God, seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him even day by day, looking to the Lord, look like in the psalm we read, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else, there's no other way, none other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. And oh friends, I know what God will work in your heart if he loves you. You make Jesus Christ so precious to you. Make him to be a living, bright reality to you. If you're asked the question, what think you of Christ? You say, like the sparrows, he's altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000. You'd be able to give testimony of this. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening. Our closing hymn is 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
forgive anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in their service this evening, especially in what the pure instruments brought and preached. Bless thy word, Lord, give meditation on it. O Lord, do so be with us and prepare us for thy day. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.